Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. It is such an exciting time to be with you again, walking through the pages of the Bible. It's something about allowing the Word of God to breathe on us. It gives us empowerment. I just believe that. And it gives me the joy to just enjoy the Word of God and allow it to just breathe on me, that I can use this Word of God to be a blessing to someone else. So I am so grateful for your faithfulness to this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio. We are, again, back on this broadcast with my guest, Pastor Gerald Jones, and we have introduced last broadcast a new program on this radio ministry, and the name of this broadcast with Pastor Gerald Jones is A Wise Witness. And today we are going to continue to look at what Scripture talks about concerning a wise witness. So, as we look at today's world, we see so much chaos in this world today. And if you have not noticed, I pray and hope that you have not closed your eyes to the chaos. I pray and hope that you have not closed your ears to it. And most of all, I pray that you have not closed your heart to any of it, because God's children are commissioned to be a light in a dark and perverse world, according to Philippians 2:15. Pastor Jones is going to expound on the importance of witness from a biblical perspective from Acts chapter 1 and Romans chapter 10. So grab your Bibles, your cell phone, your tablets, and come and enjoy the richness of being a wise witness from Pastor Gerald Jones. So, Pastor Jones, if you could introduce yourself, and we'll just get started right along into this lesson.
Well, I'm glad, Sister Smith, for the opportunity again to be able to talk from the Scriptures and from my heart, and I'm so excited to be a part of the Mission from the Heart Ministry and this radio broadcast. That will guide us through the rest of the sessions or the broadcasts that we will have is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 11 and the 30th verse. In the King James Version of the Bible, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." And I was, I was comparing scriptures with different versions of the Bible, and the English Standard Version caught my attention. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise." So it brought my mind to thinking how important it is for us as believers to be a witness and to witness and to allow the Holy Spirit to be the witness through our mouths and through with the use of God's word, being the convicting, convincing, and converting power. It is God's word that's going to do it. Our charisma, our knowledge of Scripture is great. We need that in this, but it's really God's word that does the ultimate transformation of a life. I want to start out by saying this scripture that we will read from Acts chapter number 1, and I'm just going to read the 8th verse, and we'll allude to the rest. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That is such a powerful verse in God's holy word, because it is the words that Jesus promised to the disciples, that we would receive the power, the authority, power means authority. We get it from the word pneumos, which means dynamite. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit moving. It's a powerful thing when the Word of God starts moving. And we will receive that when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So the importance of witnessing, when you think of the word importance, the quality or state of being important, significance. It has to do with the fact that it's meaningful. It's important that we witness. And, of course, again, the Lord has given us the wherewithal to witness, but sometimes there are reasons why we might not witness. One of them may be because a person just may not be saved. They may not have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are not a saved sinner, but they are lost sinners. They have not been touched or transformed by the Word of God. They are not a believer. They are unbeliever. And so they don't have what it takes to be a witness. But by the grace of God, those of us that are saved, we are saved that we might lead somebody or love somebody to the Lord and see the saving power take place in another individual's life. So some people may not witness simply because they're not even a Christian. They're not saved. Next reason is they may be saved. There are a lot of saved people that just do not have the ability or are not willing to really share their faith and lead somebody to Christ. And sometimes it's just simply because they haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we are saved, we are automatically baptized into the body of Christ and we are born again. We are saved, but we must ask the Lord to fill us. That's not F-E-E-L. I-N-G, but it's F-I-L-I-N-G. The filling of the Holy Spirit is when he controls. And if a person is not controlled or under God's dominating, they're not under his control or his power, they will not witness or share their faith. So we need not just be saved sinners or saints. We need to be spirit-filled saints. And the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's in Ephesians and the fifth chapter where it tells us that. The next thing is that a person may be saved. They may have the Holy Spirit working, filling and controlling, motivating them to love people, to time with people, and they really want to lead those people to Christ, but they just haven't been trained. Again, I can go back to my initial statement on last week when I first received Christ as my personal Savior. I came out of a Catholicism. I came out of a Catholic background, and I believed in God. I went to church. I knew about God, but I never had received him as my Savior. And when I really received Christ, as my personal Savior and was put under the tutelage of Pastor Jackson and the Pleasant Grove Church, where I was my church home. I really learned how to witness and lead people to Christ naturally. It's a fearful thing. People are fearful of witnessing because you have to go beyond yourself to talk to somebody that may not agree what you believe. They may not believe in your transformation, your salvation. They may not have had the opportunity of understanding what happens when they become a Christian. And so sometimes you fear talking to that individual. And I believe that that's when we really need to pray that if somebody God has introduced us to or that's before us to share with, we have to overcome that. But naturally, we are pretty much scared sometimes. And I want to say that we can't stay in that fearful state. Amen. We cannot force. That's a word I want to use. You can be fearful, which is natural, but then you can be forceful, where you're pushing it. And that's not natural. That's kind of unnatural to push yourself on someone, to push yourself to try to witness to someone. You don't want to really be forcing yourself to witness. It really needs to be kind of a gradual leading of God's Spirit, talking to a person, learning, and we're going to talk about that in lessons to come, our approach, our being willing to listen more than we even speak sometimes before we share the gospel message with people, because you can turn them off just by being forceful. But then what I'd like to say, we need to be faithful. If we don't get it right this time, maybe the next time you talk to someone, you will have more of an opportunity. But be very prayerful that God will help you when you're witnessing. And I believe and I know that that will help you to be a wise witness. The definition of a witness, or witness, is to see, to hear, to know by personal presence or experience or perception. So if a person sees or witnesses a murder or a crime or maybe even a good deed, they are seeing it, they usually are hearing, and they probably know what's going on. So if you're a witness, you should have some experience that have changed your life that you can share with somebody so that they can now see what you're talking, what you're trying to show them. You can hear, they can hear what you're really trying to say. And then once you have said what you have to say, they will know how to make a personal decision or a commitment. I was looking at this passage again in Acts, and what I saw is that when on the day of Pentecost, when they were all gathered together and the Holy Spirit came down upon them, and Jesus had already promised, he said that the Holy Spirit would come down and baptize them and that they would be a witness, they began to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and it forced them or it motivated them to go beyond just where they were. It says in Jerusalem, all of Judea, it says in Samaria, and right today, the uttermost parts of the earth. As we go through this seven sessions, we are expanding the family fellowship ministry. We are expanding the mission of the heart ministry by going worldwide just over the radio broadcast. And I really think, Sister Smith, this is very exciting. I'm looking at a verse in the book of Romans where I want to talk about the heart. Can you read Romans chapter number 10? beginning at the first verse.
Okay, sure. Romans 10, verse 1, reads this way. And this is in the NIV translation.
Okay.
My heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify, I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That
heart.
Is the word of
hold
faith.
Hold on a minute, Sister. Yeah, hold on, Sister Smith. Just out of observation of the text, if we go back through, you can circle the many times that the Bible is in this passage talking about the heart, the seat of the emotion, the place of decision. God is after our heart, not our blood-pumping heart, but our thinking heart, our being, our life-giving. He wants our heart. And keep reading.
Okay. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. All the scriptures say anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him.
Hold on right there. I just want to... Hold on a minute, Sister Smith. What I wanted to say is that the heart of this whole matter of witnessing is having a love like Jesus loves, where we are wanting to bring somebody in a close relationship with God by faith in the completed work of Jesus Christ. He was born, he lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again so that we would be saved, that we would be believers. And he came to us right where he comes to us. If we are Christians, he comes right where we are. He knows everything we're thinking. He knows everything we're feeling. He knows everything we've done and thing we will do. This is amazing that God would show so much favor towards mankind that he would send his only and our Savior Jesus Christ to this earth so that our hearts would be transformed by the facts that he came to this earth to save us. And so Paul in this passage is pointing to his heart's desire for his own people, Israel. And we who have been saved, no matter what our cultural background is, we ought to have a desire to see people saved. And not just the Jewish people, but the Gentiles. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. So we ought to have a heart for all people. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." He came that we may be saved, and once we're saved, we are to want to see somebody else saved. So it's so important for us to want to be able to save or lead somebody to Christ, that he would do that transformation in their life, to have a sense of purpose in witnessing. You must have, first of all, a person to witness about, and that person is Jesus Christ. You must have a personal faith in him. We cannot really waste time and talent and even treasure when so many people are without Christ. So it is so important for us to use our time, our talents, and our treasure wisely, and to use it to witness to other people who don't know, who are in darkness. Earlier about the confusion that we have in the world, the conflicts that's going on, the chaos that's taking place. The only way some of this can be changed is that we have to have changed hearts. People's hearts must be changed. And I'm a living witness that if he changed me, he could change you. He can change anybody. He's saving just as much as babies are being born. People are still being saved. Can you read again, starting at the 13th verse with our witnesses?
Sure. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written..."
Hold it right there. Hold on. I'm going to let you read that part. But that just gets me. The discussion here, these leading questions that the Apostle Paul, who's the human writer here, God is using, the Holy Spirit is using him to ask these major questions that as a believer, as a witness for Christ, we have to answer these questions. The first one says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard or believed? How can a person call on Jesus unless somebody tells them hear the gospel message? It says then, and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not what? Heard. How can they believe? How can they hear? And then he says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? It lets us know there's a need for them to believe There's a need for them to hear, and there's a need for someone, I like to change the word, preacher is a hurler, someone that hurls out, speaks out, preaches out, let the word of God come through them to somebody else. It can't happen unless somebody is willing to be a witness. And when we look in the Bible, we can't overlook the fact that Jesus himself was our perfect witness. He was our perfect example. He was an example in his birth, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, and ultimately in our lives, and in a few days, in his second return to this earth again, to when he shall come back. What a story, what a truth that must be conveyed to a world that is looking and waiting for somebody to help them in their time of need. But as a witness, you have to be very sensitive when we're talking to people, because sometimes before we see their need, the need of a man, the need of a woman, the need of a boy, a girl, a family, a church member, we are so quick to find the fault or the sin that we can see some obvious sins that is taking place in people's lives. And we must address our world is facing today and some of the things that we are changing from truth to a lie, and making a lie seems like it's the truth, and taking the truth and make it seem like it's a lie, and people that we have to be able to address that with the Bible as our basic foundation of why we believe opposite than the things that are coming up. The biggest thing in America right now about same-sex marriage and the biggest thing about abortion and the things that we know about racism that's going on in our country, the things that are taking place, we as believers are going to have to witness, and we will have to witness in a wise and discerning way in this last and in these evil days. And so Paul says here, he says, how can this happen? We're going to have to tell the truth. The truth is that Jesus was born. I said it earlier. He lived. He died. He was buried. And he rose again. That is the good news. That's the gospel. God's only Son presents eternal life. When I first became a Christian, I was not a bold witness. I was kind of a little shy, but I was around people that were bold, that was willing to go to the street corners, willing to go to the nightclubs, willing to go where people that were smoking dope, drinking, pimping, pushing, those kinds of things. I was with people that went into the hood or the devil's den and led people to Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit would do the work. We just was available. We were putting ourselves in harm's way so that somebody else could be saved. And what happened is being that kind of excitement, that kind of men, it revolutionized my life, and it revolutionized the lives of people. I've seen people smoking dope and drop their doobie, drop their small cigarette, drop the bottle of alcohol, and leave it on the ground, and you can see the transformation. Why? Not because of us, but because of the power that Jesus promised us that would come into our life when we are willing to be the witness that he wants us to be. So I was looking at in the scripture where it tells us that there were people like Paul who was saved on the road of Damascus. Now, you know, he was a rough guy. When he was Saul, he was killing people that were in the way, but that knew, had accepted Jesus. His aim and goal, but God knocked him off of his beast. In Acts 9, chapter 9, it shows where he was knocked from his beast, blinded, and he prayed and accepted Jesus as his Savior. Jesus personally witnessed to Paul. But what really got Paul was, I believe, not only did Jesus save him, but when Paul was stoning Stephen to death, it must have stuck in his mind that this man died still believing in Jesus Christ. And he Peter was sent to Cornelius' house. He witnessed, and Cornelius believed. Prison jail, Paul and Silas was praying, and the jailer got saved. I mean, all through the book of Acts, all through the Bible, you see where God was using people as witness. I believe if we're going to be wise witness, we got to let the Holy Spirit really take over our minds, our mouths, and our mannerism, the way we go about reaching people. It is so important in this day and this time. Now, Sister Cornish, would you mind reading again that passage, the rest of that passage, where it talks about how beautiful?
As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that's
bring good news. Okay. And so how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. How beautiful it is for when you can be a witness and a wise witness and bring the message to somebody else. No matter if you're fearful, take away the fear. There are 365 times in the Bible where it teaches us to fear not. And that tells me that there's one for every day. God wants to take away whatever fear or inhibition that we may have to share our faith in Christ with somebody. He can take away the fear. Secondly, we can stop trying to force the message on people. I mean, we have to tell people, but we don't have to force it. Because sometimes I've had a greater witness with people but when they say, look, I don't want it, Rev. I don't want it, brother. Hey, man, I don't want to hear it. Step back. They may not want to hear it today, but that same individual, when they start facing some life issues that they cannot handle, they'll be the first ones to come to you. And I never will forget working on a job for years, and the guys would, you know, they kind of make fun of the fact that I was a preacher and that I was witnessing for Christ. But when they got into the hard times of their own lives, I never will forget, they would always say, Rev, can you throw up one for me? Which means they wanted me to pray for them because they needed some answer to a situation they could not. And that is the time when you must be real sensitive and be able to say, you know what? Maybe it's not time just to pray for you, but I mean, pray about this situation, but pray for you to know Christ so you can be able to deal with the situation. And so we have to be very careful not to be so forceful that we push people away from us and push them away from the good news that God loves them. He has a wonderful plan for their life, that he came as a savior of sinners, and that they can be saved simply by believing in their heart and confessing with their mouth. And then I said, a faithful witness. Only God can keep us faithful. Only God can help us to be faithful to the word. In the day when people are burning down churches, when people are today burning crosses, today people are still wanting to wave a racist flag. Today, when we find that there are a lot of things going on in our day, in our culture, in this time, we are given the opportunity to be faithful witnesses of God's word and to preach the gospel, to live what we preach. Carnisha, I really feel that I've addressed most of what I wanted to deal with tonight. Do you have any questions or comments?
Well, yes. I think as I was making note of your points, and I pray that everyone that is with us, has joined us today in this broadcast, has made a habit of bringing the necessary tools that you need in order to be ready to receive what God has for you and become that student that you will be developed into a wise witness. But Pastor Jones, as I was making note of your points, especially or pertaining to Acts chapter 1 and the life for people, that particular point, what type of life for people pertaining to the book of Acts in chapter 1, you had given me some points under that life, love for people, and leadership for people.
Right.
If you could touch on the type of life we are to have, the type of love we are to have, and the type of leadership we are to have for people as a wise witness.
As a wise witness, we really have to be careful and prayerful about what we say and what we don't say. The words that we say will come from our heart, and we need to be careful about what we say, some of the things we're saying. Because when we say one thing and we do something else, those people we're witnessing to are always watching us, especially when we carry the Bible, when we come across that we are born again, that we are children of God. Now, we know that we are not perfect, but we are being perfected. We're not what we ought to be, but we're not what we used to be. And in between getting where God is bringing us to, we all struggle with sin, and we all struggle with a sinful nature, a nature to do wrong rather than do right. But we cannot justify our wrong so that we would appear that it's okay to do something that we've done wrong. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and I just hope that those that are listening to the broadcast, that we ponder on these points that Pastor Jones is bringing through this lesson today, that you look at yourself to see where you can be shaped, where you can be molded, in what areas that you're making mention of, Pastor Jones, concerning being careful on what we say and what we don't say. And I believe that is so important, an important characteristic to have is to have self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit,
right,
to have self-control,
yes,
and be gentle.
Right. That passage that I was talking about where it says, be not drunk with wine where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul is again alluding to the fact that we must be under God's control. And one of the watchwords that we should, that I have, and maybe someone else may pick up, when we're in certain situations, we want to think about life. How did Jesus lead us? Now, we're not Jesus, but he's in us. And how did Jesus live? How did Jesus respond to the demoniac? How did Jesus respond to the woman at the well? How did Jesus respond to the people that came to him and the people that he went to? Let's look at his life and how he dealt with other people in life. He touched lives every day. And we have an opportunity to touch some lives. So then what we would like them to see is the love that God has for us as well as the love that we can have for them. I can love a person and still disagree with what some of the things that they may be involved in. I can accept people. I can accept them as human beings, but I don't have to condone a lifestyle that is inhumane. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We can condemn sin, but we can't condemn the sinner. Because
Amen.
We all are just saved sinners or lost sinners.
Amen. Pastor Jones, if you could touch briefly on the leadership of people, how is this in reference to the witness, how we are to lead others to Christ, or how do we look at that as one of your points of leadership of people from a witness perspective, being a witness?
Some people really need to just to admit that they need to be saved. And we can lead them to Christ by helping them to see, you know, just simply, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I'm lost. I admit that I'm going in the wrong direction. I admit that what I'm doing is wrong. And you might have to, as I've done in many witnessing occasions, say, look, I did some of the same things, and God knows that what we are doing and what we have done. And you can tell them to admit that they are a sinner. That's one way. Secondly, when they admit that they're a sinner, they can then admit or believe that there's a Savior for sin. And Jesus is that Savior. Admit, believe. All in this Romans chapter, when you study the book of Romans, it is the foundation for believers. It has been said, if you study the book of Romans, it is almost like going to Bible college or seminary. There's the foundation. It talks about the Savior. It talks about sin. It talks about the sovereignty of God. It talks about, you know, the Spirit of God. There is a lot in the book of Romans. But the emphasis is on believing. So a person must admit that they're a sinner, then teach them or share with them or lead them to the person that forgives us of our sin, and that is the Savior, who's Jesus Christ. So I've admitted it. B, I believe that he is the Savior. He's the bridge, the gap between a holy God and a sinful man. Jesus is the in-between person, not only was he between the center on the left and the center on the right, but he is the gap breaker. He is the bridge between a holy God and an unholy man. And if a person believes that or accepts that, then they must go to Romans 10 again, that if thou should confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says thou shall. It didn't say might, maybe, perhaps. It said you shall be saved. And I think when I say leadership, that's what I'm talking about, leading people to that point where they'll say, yeah, I'll pray with you to accept Jesus as my Savior. And I really believe we have almost gotten away from leading people to Jesus, where we're leading them to either our philosophy or our, you know, just our doctrine or to ourselves. We have to get back to leading them to our Savior. If he saves us, if he fills us with his Spirit, and he sanctifies us, finally, at the end of the story, he will separate us and sanctify us for the service that we must do. So we go from being sinners to saved sinners or saints, and we go from just being a saint to being a spirit-filled saint, and then we end up at the last point where we become a servant of God, where we begin to actually serve the Lord for the balance of our days. You get me on that, Sister Smith?
Oh, yes, and I pray that others that are listening to the broadcast, I hope you're making note of these rich points for you to go back and study and refresh yourself and just practice what Pastor Jones is teaching us on how to be a wise witness. Because it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, and this is a verse that I believe Pastor Jones, as well as those who are listening, that would be a verse that you would need to kind of memorize and kind of get it in your soul to where it just becomes something that continues to train you along with desiring to be a wise witness. And it reads this way. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 2. And it says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And that prayer just kind of solidifies for me, Pastor Jones, it propels me in my mind and in my heart to want to continue to be a witness after I continue to listen to this broadcast on how to be a wise witness and get the verses, the Romans chapter 10 and the reference verses on how to disciple me to be a witness and get up under a church that disciples the saints to be a wise witness. Do you agree, Pastor Jones?
Most definitely. If you remember in the initial part of the broadcast tonight, I talked about the reason why most people do not witness is because either they have not believed, they're not saved. Number two, they're not spirit-filled or under God's control, or they're not trained. And truly, disciples are made. We are born again when we accept Christ as our Savior. But to be able to lead other people to Christ, we have to be disciples. We have to be developed. We have to be brought into being trained or taught how, and not only just with words, but with action, by going out and talking to people, getting down on the level, condescending to man's low estate, meeting people where they are, where they're hurting at, what they're going through. I wrote down in my notes, and I don't know if I brought it out tonight, when we meet people, we should look at their need or try to find out their need, not just their faults. If a person is hungry, we know that if they're truly hungry, then we need to feed. If they truly have a need for somewhere to stay, then, and they really are looking, we may need to help them with that need. But once we have shown them or brought them to the place where we're helping with the need, the deep need is what can transform their life that they don't continue to be in the situation that they're in or that they're going, the things they're going through. So they have to make a change. And only God can change us, but there's a need to bring them to a place to see this is the way you do this or that, and bring them to a place where there's really a teaching. It's kind of like an on-the-job training. You know, I can teach you how to do something. I can show you. Till you start doing it yourself, you will not be a witness. Unless you start actually saying, you know what, I'm going to ask the Lord to help me to witness to my cousin. I know what they're involved in. They're doing something I know that is detrimental to them. It's going to kill them if they continue in the way they're going. So I'm asking you, Lord, you know, you have to pray. I'm asking you, Lord, help me to be able to convey to my friend, to my family member, to my loved one, so that now they will change their mind about the way they're going. And you got to keep doing it because the opportunity is going to keep coming. If you help one person, you're going to find that person is going to lead you to somebody else that's going to be needing some type of help or somebody to witness to.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Jones, before we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody who's listening to this broadcast and may not know him for themselves in the pardoning of their sin, how about opening the lines of the broadcast? And for someone who may have a share moment on what they experienced as being a witness or how they may have witnessed to someone and met them where they were and extended the gospel of Jesus Christ to them by way of them wanting, praying with them to be saved. We want to open the lines up, and we want to hear about this because this is what others need to hear, that they may be encouraged, that the fear that stirs up in us to keep us from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, even just in our family, that your testimony or your share moment will help somebody else draw courage from that and move them from sitting but out into the harvest, out into area. Yeah, serving. So we're going to open the lines up for those who might have, and just allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in this. It's not to put you on the spot. It's not to make you or embarrass you, but we're going to unmute the phone. And for those who do not have a share, I just want you to mute your phone if you have that capability on your cell phone or even on your landline, but to mute your phone. And then when you do have a share or a testimony, then unmute your phone, and then we will allow you to speak about that. So if you do have a moment to share with us, then unmute your phone, and please don't hesitate, because there is someone that is listening to the broadcast that may be blessed by your testimony. And Pastor Jones, as we're unmuting the lines, what do you have to say that would help us to be more willing to step out of our comfort zone and actually become developed on the job training, if you will?
Take a look around and see the people that are closest to you that are in need of someone spending time with them and loving them to Christ. Take a look around. And then look, I always say look up to God for the help, to help you to see the things about yourself that needs to be changed, where you can be a better witness. And then as you look out to other people, you can be able to really help them to be what God wants them to be. Pray. Fast. Start memorizing scriptures. Scriptures that help me can help somebody else. Scripture that helps you can help somebody else. Sometimes experiences that you have gone through can encourage somebody that they can make it through. There has therefore now no temptation that has taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, make the way of escape. Count it all joy when you fall into the diverse trouble or temptation. You know, scriptures that will help people where they're hurting.
Amen. And that is so important, that I believe, because we know that the Word of God is the healing balm for our soul. And when the Word of God just makes a soothing mark on your circumstance or your situation, my goodness, I tell you, it just brings healing to the hurting in your circumstance. And that has been an experience that I've had on many occasions when I had to look up, just as you said, and looking up to God, know that He is my healing balm, and that so is what's needed in today's times, especially in these troubling times that we see. So we want to extend to you an opportunity to make a comment or a share, or maybe ask Pastor Jones for advice on what would be good or how you could be developed, since he's had so much experience in the field, if you will. And just go ahead and speak up at this opportunity, at this time, and we will acknowledge you if you do have a question or a share. So I just ask that you would unmute your phone. And Pastor Crow, as those who are trying to decide, and I encourage you to do so, you can, what can we expect from our next program, our next broadcast?
Okay. Glad you asked. We're going to go into a little bit more about the witnessing, being a wise witness, and we're going to continue to focus on the main scripture, which is the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. But we're going to talk a little bit more, as we did today, what qualifies a person to be a witness. What are the, would you might say, the job description of a witness? What a witness looks like. We're going to go a little bit farther into that, and we're going to focus on Colossians chapter number 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians. This week we focused on Romans chapter 10 and Acts chapter 1, But next week we'll focus on the Colossians.
Amen. The book of Colossians. Well, we will be looking forward to this next broadcast. And Pastor Jones, I tell you, this has been such a blessing to me, and this is such a need that we be developed. And I like the way that you made mention, how did Jesus respond? And that is such a key point on meeting people where they are and having a heart to want to be a better witness in these troubling times. As I've heard my brother in Christ say in these closing days of grace, I tell you, it makes so much to have a heart for these times that we see. And we should not cower back. We need to step up and be a witness, or stand up and be a better witness, or a wise witness, according to Proverbs 11:30. Is there anyone that I want to give this opportunity before we close out this broadcast? If you have a share moment or a word or a scripture verse that really helped you to be a wise witness, or if you want to know more on being a wise witness, I encourage you to meet us at this broadcast every Thursday, 8 o'clock Central, and be ready to take notes, be ready with your Bible, so that you will have a better and a deeper understanding according to the scripture on how to be a wise witness. Correct, Pastor Jones?
Yes, correct. And like I said, who is a greater witness than Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit work a believer's heart?
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Jones, if you don't mind, pray a sinner's prayer that someone will come to know Jesus Christ before we close this broadcast. And those who are believers in Christ Jesus, if you would touch and agree with us as we pray for the lost, or pray for some soul to come to know Jesus Christ. And it very well, it might be you. And we want to pray with you. So if you would repeat after Brother Jones and come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then do that today. Today is the day. Not tomorrow, because we know it's not promised to you. And my brothers and sisters in Christ that are listening today, if you would bow your head and pray along with us, we would appreciate that so much, because this is a tender moment. So, Pastor Jones, if you could go ahead and extend the gospel through prayer.
Yes. The Bible teaches us, it says that God so loved the world, he loves us, and he gave his only begotten Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Father in heaven, we pray that if someone have heard these words that we have shared tonight, and for the first time, they not only have a desire, they have a determination, and they're making a decision to accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. They will pray the prayer, Lord, forgive me for being a sinner. Come into my heart and save me, and give me the life of Jesus in my life. Turn me around. Make me to be what you want me to be. I believe that Jesus was born, that he lived, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again, and that he's coming back real soon. And I accept him as my personal Lord and my personal Savior. And perhaps there's somebody out there that's already a Christian. They've been born again. They know they're a changed person. but they want to be a witness for you. God, I pray tonight that you would give them the feeling, not just F-E-E-L-I-N-G, but the feeling of the Holy Spirit, where you said, be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with your Spirit, that we might be the witnesses that you want us to be. Separate us for your service, that we could be sanctified for service, that you would make us to be the laborers in the vineyard. The harvest is ripe, and the laborers are few. Bring in those that would work for you, would worship you, and would witness for you in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God, praise God. So we just want to thank you again for being faithful to the broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio. And if you've missed any portion of this broadcast, please do not hesitate to revisit www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart-MFTH. And that's heart, the number two, heart, MFTH, stands for Mission from the Heart. And click on A Wise Witness with Gerald Jones. So, and just revisit the broadcast and refresh yourself and take notes of what you may have missed and share it. This is what this ministry is about, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we encourage you to do so. And always remember, Pastor Jones, I thank you again for doing such a beautiful work in teaching us on how to be a wise witness. And I am super excited about next broadcast. So always remember that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God will remain forever. Thank you again, and have a good day and a blessed week.
God bless you.